everybody. Welcome to PBTP, Powered by the Players. Powered by the Players is an actual play podcast featuring mini campaigns and one-shots of all your favorite PBTA games. Each campaign or one-shot will be a different Powered by the Apocalypse game with a rotating cast of diverse players. Let's power up!
But yeah, as you pull up to the parking lot on the beach, you see that the entrance to the beach itself is marked off with police tape. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what they can do, and the beach is closed currently for the day. Okay. Are you going to cross it?
Yeah.
Okay. Just had to double check. So as you cross over the beach, it has some stairs down that lead to the actual beach itself. Mm-hmm. And the beach itself is actually dark brownish, grayish sands, but the water itself is like the deep, rich blue.
Pretty.
Yeah. And there's jagged rocks that sort of scatter the water there. I actually had to look up San Francisco beaches and like, I was like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, dark brown sands, deep blue waters, jagged rocks that litter the skyline and the beach itself. There are little flags placed here and there for where things were, but the items are obviously picked up in police evidence and pulled to the side. But it's closed, so nobody's actually here today. And it's all you hear is just seagulls in the distance and the waves crash into the shore.
Okay. I was going to say that Isabella takes out her phone to take a picture of the placement of the flags. And then I was like, wait, wait, we did this on purpose.
I mean, you can take out a camera that you have.
There are digital cameras.
Yeah. Okay.
They're just fat.
Yeah. They're the big, the really thick ones.
The thick boys.
Right. So I guess Isabella will go back to the car. She didn't carry it out here and get the camera. We can kind of zoom through this unless you want me to stop. But and she comes out and she takes a few pictures just so that later she can review kind of where the flags are placed on the beach. And then she'll put her camera back and then explore a little further.
Okay. And as you're taking those photos and you're just looking around, you just have this feeling that something is like watching you. You know, like when you get the eyes like on you sort of situation, you're like, you feel it. You just got a feeling.
So I look around, do I see anything?
As you're looking around and you look on the beach, there's nothing there. But when you look down to the water, you do see a bit of a shadow that sort of just quickly disappears behind a rock.
Is it a rock I can get to? Is it like part of the rocks that go out that I can walk along? Or is it like a lone rock out there?
It's kind of like out into the water a bit. Okay. Probably like 10, 15 feet out into the water. But when you kind of know if you've been to this beach before, like on your own, it's about where it gets to about like chest high water. So,
okay.
So if you want to wade out, you can. But
No, my suit is perfectly tailored. I'm not going to wade out into the ocean.
Valid.
Oh, Isabella.
Give me another investigate a mystery.
Ooh. Okay. Six.
Go ahead and mark experience.
Yay, experience.
How, are you already investigating? Are you just looking about or?
Yeah, I think she's just kind of looking, trying to maybe dusting some sand off to see if there's any, I don't know, anything she can see.
Yeah, just because the police have already done a full sweep here and it's the ocean. It's at low, it's actually at high tide right now. So, so the water's a lot higher. So anything that could have been there probably been washed away or the police have clumsily knocked away the evidence.
Okay. I think she's going to go back to her car, but she's going to sit in it for a while and kind of watch the water to see if she sees any more shadows or any more people come to the beach.
Yeah. So how long is she waiting?
You know, like 15-20 minutes before she goes back to the agency.
Yeah, I think towards the end of your 15 minutes, you do see near that rock that you saw out in the water, just another shadow sort of like peer around it, and then you just see it disappear in the water and just swim away. Okay. And it, from the shape and size of it, it does look like a pretty big thing.
Oh, like, okay.
Yeah, probably like 5-6 feet, something like that.
Okay. Well, that's another reason why I shouldn't go out into the ocean. okay, so I think she's just going to go back. Yeah, you know what? She got that coffee this morning that was super sugary, and she's starting to feel a sugar crash, so I think she's just going to go back to the agency. But before she does, since the agency is right behind Hallucinations, she's just going to pop through the coffee shop and grab another one.
Okay.
Now that the morning rush is gone, she can order it in secret.
the super sugary thing again. That's fair. All right, yeah, we'll just see you just the last scene that we see is you just seeing that, you know, seeing the figure and then pulling away and then driving off. So we'll cut there. College, Sonic drive-thru, where are we going?
Let's go ahead and go to the Sonic drive-thru.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Where, first off, is the Sonic drive-thru actually at a Sonic drive-thru, or is it
or is it? It like is 100%. That's what it looks like. Like, you have two sides. Well, nowadays you can actually do a drive-thru. Like, normally they're just pull-pulling.
Like, yeah, they're like a super big one.
We don't talk about the shenanigans anymore. We talk about the original, like, both sides, you park.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You
hear the speakers. This is 1999.
Right.
And there is, and all the waitresses, servers, the servers are all in roller skates, so.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so basically, you able to hop in the car, head off to the Sonic Drive-In, which is about 10 minutes closer to the beaches. I think sort of where Isabella is, but not exactly within the same vicinity. And you pull up. It's like any other Sonic drive-thru where it has basically one area where you enter and then it curves around and an area that you exit. And there's just parking all along the side with menus and speakers. And then like a little inner outside sitting area. And then the actual cook area itself that's actually closed off to the world with its walls and glass that's covered with all the promotions and whatnot. The question is, are you one of the people who parks closer to the entrance? Or are you one of the people who parks away at the side? Because, you know, there's like ones, there's the side and there's some on the other side.
That are right. So like there's the contained, no one goes inside here, but it does technically have windows, so you can kind of see people going in and out. And then right next to that, you have like the sit down spot for people who are like, it's so nice outside, I'd love to eat my fast food here. And then all of the aisles on both sides of that to just sit and shovel food in your car, right?
Or just pick up the car and food and go.
That's not the correct way. If you're doing it that way, it's wrong.
What if you want to eat at your house without the outside lurking?
And you're why we have drive-through Sonics now.
Learn etiquette with Sonic.
Those bellhops did not skate out to you and present you your food on a tray for you to just leave.
And they provide mints.
Those artists should be respected.
Anywho, welcome to our podcast where we discuss the proper way to eat fast food.
At Sonic. Just Sonic.
Well, this episode. Next episode, we could tackle Carl's Jr., McDonald's, who knows?
No rules, just right at Back Steakhouse.
Oh my goodness. All right.
No Outback Steakhouse.
No Outback Steakhouse. Anyone who knows or is a part of the Secret Order knows that you have to pull up to aisle 13 and order number 13 with a slushy of lime and cranberry juice. That's the call sign at this specific one.
You have to order a slushy with what?
Lime and cranberry juice.
Lime and cranberry juice.
One moment, right. Please, while I pull up the menu for Sonic to see what the number 13 is.
Oh, no. They would have changed it by now. You know what? Maybe in 1999, they didn't have a 13. We can go with aisle 13, number 7.
No. They had a 13, but it was, okay. It was like one of those weird ones that they didn't, like, no one really ordered from because they're like...
Accurate.
What is that? Okay. Give me the menu. All right. It's not actually showing numbers on here because I guess they all changed, but anywho.
Yeah.
It's okay. The best part of the secret order is that you would assume that you would order it from a secret menu, but it's hidden in plain sight.
I love the secret society intermingled with today's society ideas. It's so good. But yeah. So basically, yeah, you order the number 13 with a slushy of cranberry and lime. Is that right?
Yes.
You hear the pause from the voice from the other end after they ask you for the order, and they're like, "Oh, yes. Please come in. We're having some difficulty hearing you. Could you please come through the door?" And you know that's the call sign to come. You got the A-OK to come in.
I know this is a podcast and you can't hear my face, but that's the face I'm making at Don, or just the smug super excitement of, like, have you been inside yet, Don? Have you been inside?
Don definitely has not yet. Don is absolutely upset that you didn't order a blue raspberry.
Don't worry. If you say the right things, you can make your own drink inside.
Delicious.
All right, so... You head in?
100%. I will hurriedly get out of the driver's seat. I'll even offer to open the door for Don.
He insists.
As y'all are getting out of the car and heading towards the front door, as you go to open it, there's somebody actually already coming out with a tray full of food in the roller skate. So they roll out, do a turn, and just hold the door open for you with their tray just, like, gracefully still on their arm.
Yeah, they do.
Waiting for you to walk in.
I flourish my coat and say thank you.
Beautiful. Yes, after you, Don, you got this. Welcome.
They give you a nod, and as soon as y'all both enter, they just shut the door behind you, and you hear that click that you never knew that the Sonic door actually locked automatically, and that they actually have little key cards that they wear to unlock the door. Yeah. I'm just breaking your brain with all this knowledge of Sonic drive-thrus.
Talon loves it. Talon just is dripping with excitement that this secret part of themselves gets to be shared with Don. And Don, like, has always been on the fringe anyway. So, like, this is a beautiful moment.
Oh, I am so hype right now. Don is just living his their best life.
Excellent. And as you walk in, and you do see that the front part of the area where they actually cook the food is actually a restaurant area, so they can keep the facade. And they actually serve food here. It's actually a legit Sonic. All right. And then, yeah, so you're walking past them, and they're not paying attention to you at all as you're walking through, because they know you got the clear. You're obviously let in. So you're able to just go straight to the back where there's, like, the, you know how some places have the swinging doors between the kitchen and, like, the rest of the world?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's a swinging door there that has, like, a window, but it's kind of frosted over.
Absolutely. I am dramatically flinging both arms out to swing these doors wide open, as I have been known to do.
And you swing it open. And the lighting in here takes you a minute because it's so dark on the inside compared to the bright sunshine that's coming through the front area with not only the sunshine, but also the fluorescent lighting. So it takes you a minute to both of y'all to look through the darkness, but eventually you do see, would you consider it more like, how would you consider the design of, like, what sort of visual ideas do you think that the...
I see. So if you...
Is it the agency or the... Oh, God. What
Isabella is the agency. We're just the secret order.
Yeah. What does the secret order sort of look like? Like...
So whereas the agency was more high-tech professional office space, I think we are mirrored to that. So it's not like a dungeon, but it's definitely more rooted in history.
Like a monastic temple sort of situation?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to hear Don's input on aesthetics here.
I imagine the room is maybe like almost even like a bat cave kind of situation. Like it's a little dank. It's a little musty, but like not unprofessional. Like there,
the dankness like of the, authority.
I feel like the tech and the information gathering systems that you guys have in the agency is an interesting juxtaposition to the room surrounding it.
So the Secret Order really is rooted in like ancient history brought forth through the archives. So we're constantly like progressing those archives to preserve them. So I think,
so do you think there's like a bunch of libraries down here? Like it's like a big old library in a sense.
It's there somewhere. I don't think it would be the first thing we see.
Yeah. I think, I think when you first step back, it's pretty dark, in general, but there's actually like glowing orbs, not even like light sockets, but glowing orbs, channeling the small room. But it's really just stairs down that lead you to like more of a spacious area. This is just more of a landing pad itself. And if you go down the stairs, which are just like stone steps that look like they've been here for ages, like they look like they're older than the city itself almost. So you don't even know like how Amistad Bay has such a basement, because it's a peninsula off the coast of California, but it does, and it's been holding pretty well. And there's a bit of musk in the air, a little bit of mustiness, just because it's older, it's a little like closed in. You come into a foyer of sorts that is actually, it's more those glowing orbs, because the secret agency is all about magic and magic lore. So obviously there's magic in the secret agency itself. So there's floating orbs as light just sort of like lining the walls. And I think it has stone of walls themselves that are like bricked in a sense, and there's tapestries of this the great Sonic Drive-In order with the actual symbol lining the walls. And there's various doorways, or rather not doors, but there's various openings that lead to other parts of the room, other parts of the area. So now you have space to explore. Tally, you know that one way leads to the library itself. Another way leads to like a training area of sorts, like a gym. And then, so left is library, right is gym training area. And if you go straight ahead, that leads you to more of a communal space and area that you can find more of the elders that are there.
Yes. I look at Don and I've inhaled enough of the dank authority and history to recenter myself. And I feel much more comfortable down here than I do up above ground.
I mean, this is home for you. Of course you do.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so we came here to find out what we know.
That is what we came here to find out. But Talon, you did not tell me about the aesthetic. I could chill here.
Yes, it's definitely a very good place to learn about monsters and magic and how to kill monsters and use magic and fight. And, you know, we have a whole network. It's kind of cool.
Interesting. I'll have to take a bit of a grand tour later, but I think we do have just a bit of an objective for the moment.
I think Talon's most familiar with the gym area, but has used the library in terms of like learning the way, but kind of considers the library archival, not like up to date current news. So I think Talon wants to go find any of the elders that are down here and be like,
Beesh, what you know.
What's going on? Yeah, so that's totally something we can do. So you're going to go straight ahead to the communal area and see who's here.
Don. I'll look at Don and be like, shall we go forth?
We shall.
Onward, forward.
Forward.
To the elders.
To the elders. Yeah, so you go into, you go straight ahead into the next room of sorts. I don't know why I'm thinking Animal Crossing right now, but that's where my brain's been. And so, like, you get your main, like, living area, and then you have the back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yep,
I'm sorry, mm-hmm. It's Kristen and Diana. You gotta tell this.
No, I'm digging it. Yeah.
But yeah, you go into the back room. So you go into the back room, and it's just, it's, I guess it's about lunchtime now. Maybe, like, early lunch. Depending on, because everybody wakes up super early, so, like, it's, like, 11 a.m., so it's about lunchtime. So there's a lot, it's actually pretty busy. Everybody who is in training, or is an apprentice, or the elders, or they're eating, commuting, it's a lot, it's quiet whispers overall. It's not, like, really, like you go to a cafeteria where it's super loud. It's actually pretty quiet, where people are just, like, whispering quietly to one another. So you do hear some rumblings of talkings, but it's not overpowering and all that. And it's lunchtime for them.
Is this normal? Why are they all whispering?
Yes. We are trained to communicate in whispers. It's not a uncivilized mess hall.
You're standing there, Talon, looking around, and you're actually able to see Kirby, I believe, closer towards the far end of the room on the left-hand side, sitting with a few other, actually with a group of apprentices, telling them stories of past adventures they went on. Kirby's a bit of a lover of the nostalgia of living those memories, because, He was a strong person of the Secret Order, but as he's gotten older and survived, he's able to pass and just teach knowledge to the younger apprentices and stuff. But he just lives for those glory days for the most part now. And so you catch him in a bit of a story as you start walking towards him.
I rib Don in the side. I'm like, Kirby is the best. Kirby was the one. Most of the elders, they're a little snooty. They're a little like, hoity-toity, take it seriously, blah, blah, blah. But Kirby knew what was up because he loves the action of being a part of this order. And he will know what's happening if something is happening regarding these missing people.
Good. I'd like to get this over with as soon as possible. I have several events to get to afterwards.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize you were such a butterfly of the social variety.
You'd be surprised.
Huh. Okay. The coat just... I just thought you were shedding the coat.
I will teach you later about accent pieces.
I have to assume that's fashion. And that might be something that would be useful for disguise skills. So maybe... Yes. Okay, I'm going to mark down accent pieces as something to study later. By you, apparently. Okay, cool. Thank you.
No problem. Let's go talk to this Kirby.
Talon, good to see you here. What graces us with your presence today?
Oh, you flatter me. No. I'm here with my compatriot Don, who has been, a satellite server.
Oh, yes, our satellite server. Hello, Don. Nice to meet you. I'm Kirby. I'm one of the elders here. I was just telling the students about my fight back in 72 with a particular water creature. Nope, it wasn't water. Hold on. It was, what was I just telling? As you know, Talon, he's got a little bit of memory issues.
It was the swamp monster, Kirby.
Right, the swamp monster.
Ooh.
Yes.
That's interesting.
I was down in Louisiana for a mission, and we had to deal with the swamp monster.
And you lit it on fire!
Yes, I did. Family fire is a weakness for it. It's good.
Yes.
Well, good that to is no. I'll take that spirit. Down.
Mm-hmm. Fire is a weakness for a lot of things. Just FYI.
Fair point. I'll give you that.
Just got to burn things down. But don't burn everything down. Keep the historical things correct. Am I right, students? Don't set everything to fire. And he's like waving to the kids, and the kids are like, yeah.
Safety fire first. Is weakness. Safety first. But of course, Kirby, just curious if you have been, you know, doing the normal translating the news on the radio thing that you do.
Yeah. Let me see what I can do. I will talk to y'all later, kids. I'll see you on history in a bit. And so he gets up and he's like waving to follow him towards the library so he can pull out his notes. Or his office. We're gonna go to his office. He has an office, so he's just gonna wave you to his office.
He's like a professor with an office. Excellent. Kirby, sir.
Yeah.
Did you hear the radio this morning?
Oh yes, about the missing people at the beach. Is that right?
Yeah,
it was about the beach. Yeah, it was the beach. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did hear about it. Yeah, and apparently, and he's actually, once he gets there and he's pulling up the notes about today's issues, he actually pulls out a couple other folders. He's like, yeah, it's funny because it's actually been happening for the last few weeks. There's been a couple people missing here and there for the last
weeks.
Yeah. There was three college girls last week and then another person about 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, there's. I mean, of course, they're saying it's riptides, but I don't know. My gut instinct is telling me something different, and you know, my gut instinct isn't, and it doesn't lie to me.
Yeah, no, I believe we've heard around that there haven't been much evidence of riptides, actually.
Yeah, so looking into this, I've been sort of dealing with water creatures, especially those from the aquatic nature, and. I mean, there's so many things that it could possibly be. And he's, like, going through, like, various notes. He's like, it could be, like, just an aggressive shark to maybe something that's maybe another swamp-esque creature from, but not a swamp, but, like, an ocean.
Curbs. Just another shark in this part of town.
It's been happening at the beach, especially at night. There's not much evidence, really. I mean,
literally, that's Talon just like, I got nothing. I'm just singing along.
Singing the Jaws theme song. And he's like, I mean, it could be a range of things coming from mythology to urban legends. It could be like a ghost seeking vengeance. I don't know. We don't have any more evidence than what we have. And without any like survivors or people who are witnesses, we don't know.
So your gut says the same thing my gut says, which is there's something going on here.
Oh yeah, but definitely.
The Order has not banded a team together just yet.
Not yet. I mean, it didn't seem like that much of a deal until what happened last night. And we're like, okay, maybe it's actually a reoccurring factor because we just thought the first two times were just simply...
Five bodies gone?
Technically, it was four.
Four plus two more?
Now that we're like thinking about it, yeah, so we are working on getting people on it. So, hey, if you want to volunteer for this mission, there you go. Take Nomi with you. Let her learn, like, on.
Yes, of course. Talon's wincing.
We would be happy to take Nomi with us. Wouldn't we, Talon?
I serve the Order, and I embrace this responsible choices, and it's no pressure at all.
Excellent. Let's go get some evidence then.
Okay, bye.
He's like, you'll do fine. Nomi is still learning, but I believe she'll be capable, especially in your hands. So you've got
this. So background, Nomi's like same age as our CCC buddies.
So like 18, 17.
Yeah.
19, somewhere around there. Or
late teens.
College child.
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah, and he passes you the notes he has and all the ideas, and like there's a range of ideas from like the Kraken to mermaids to ocean version swamp monster to Loch Ness. Just
wow.
Just a list of possible ideas.
This looks more like a wish list of things Kirby wanted to take out.
I mean, like, ¿por qué no los dos? Like,
yeah. I look at it, I nod, and I'm like, pass it off to Dawn. I'm like, this is something, I guess. I mean, if nothing else, we can look at the archives about these monsters.
I'm not sure. I think that we maybe need to get a little bit more evidence than pulled under the sea. Because, mm-hmm. again, that could be any one of these things that he's showing us.
Mm. There's even like a thing saying Sharknado.
Mm.
But it's crossed out. And he's like, no, this doesn't exist.
The prophecy has been fulfilled.
Oh, no. Okay. So we'll pocket the list and I guess go acquire Nomi. Hey, gnomes. Nomi?
Yeah. What's up?
So, after your classes are finished today, I think we have some field shadowing that you can do.
I get to go on the field?
Road trip.
Yes! Oh, I mean, I'm very excited, and I can't wait, and I will take diligent notes, and yes, please.
Come prepared.
Oh.
The standard?
Standard, okay. Cool.
You will probably be around individuals that are of similar age to you, but okay, keep in mind, not everyone is aware of your situation.
Okay. So,
Blend
in. Don't talk of the agency. Got it.
Yeah, maybe go over the, you know, normal social modicums textbook a little bit.
Give me your best Valley Girl impression.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's see. Let me see. It's like, oh my God, Becky, look at that butt. It's so big. It reminds me of those rap guys' girlfriends.
Oh, Talon, they're perfect.
Yes. I forgot how performative Nomi is. Okay, well, we'll see you. Where do we want to meet, Dawn? Do we want to meet up with students?
I mean, I feel like we normally meet up at Hallucinations.
Evening coffee, it's fine.
So you tell Nomi that you're meeting after class, and then...
I think we could benefit from trying to get in touch with Isabella.
Agreed. It seems like Isabella knows a lot.
She probably has more information than us, and we can have a bit of a meeting of the minds. Maybe we know something that she doesn't.
Basically, the last thing we see is y'all make the idea to head back to Hallucinations and start heading up the steps towards the Sonic, and that's where we'll cut scene to the college.
Do we have criminology today, Mallory?
Yes, we have criminology in 30 minutes.
So yeah, as you're going through the big, beautiful fountain, like right in the middle of the flat area, with the hills that all lead up to each of the buildings. So it's sort of like a little valley of sorts where the actual fountain is. There's various people playing hacky sack in the lawn. Another student that's sitting against a tree with an acoustic guitar playing Meredith Brooks' Bitch, with a couple people sitting around her. There's people sitting in like the benches reading, or there's one kid who just sprawled out for a nap.
Mal, maybe we should, I know where, some of Allie's, friends hang out. Maybe we should see if they're around. Maybe we can ask some questions before class, you know?
Okay. That would be, a smart way to investigate. Yes. Let's do that. Where are we going? Where do they hang out?
I think it's like just a section of the quad by the cafe, kind of where the music people tend to hang out when they're jamming. I know. There's some good music sometimes.
No, there's not. There's not. Not here.
Have no taste. Come on, and then like.
Just I have taste. It's just it's not here.
All right, so Cameron's shoving Mallory towards the musical area.
Okay. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, you're going over there. There's, like I said, there's the person with the one with the guitar, and just like maybe like four or five people around her, and then just like, other people just like laying on the quad itself, either like on a towel or just on the grass, either napping or sunbathing or taking notes or reading. You do see that. When you get over there, there is a couple people that you kind of know offhandedly, but you do see one of the people that you've seen Allie hang out with a bit. It's another woman. She's got like long curly black hair. You just pulled them to a high ponytail with a thick scrunchie, and just looks like she's just taking notes.
Hey, I kind of like point. I've seen her hang around with Allie. Do you know her?
Hold on. Let me consult my notebook.
Oh,
sorry. I've got my notebook out for the ready, and it's like, no, I have not caught her name before. Let's go ask. So Malibu goes up to her.
Oh, okay. Oh, no. Oh,
hi, did you know Allie?
And so she's taking notes, and then she doesn't respond to your words. She's just still taking notes.
Excuse me. Were you friends with Allie? Did you know her?
Still taking notes.
Mallory gets a little bit closer into her personal space. Excuse me. Did you know Allie?
So as soon as she sees that you get, like, your shadow sort of, like, falls over her face, she looks up and she sort of gets startled because you're right there.
Mallory jumps back.
And then she starts signing at you.
And Mallory goes, puts her hands up and says, okay. And then Mallory writes too many words on a paper. And her paper says, hi, my name is Mallory Diaz. I am looking for information about our classmate, Allie, who is missing. Did you happen to know her? And then shows her the piece of paper.
Oh, my.
So I think as you're writing it up, she's starting to, like, grab her book and just, like, starting to stand a bit and just looking at you kind of confused and weirded out. And you see that there's another girl, like, as you're handing her the note and she's starting to read it, there's another woman that comes up. And she's got, like, shorter brown hair that's sort of, like, into a it's kind of like shorter on the top, shorter on the sides and like longer on the top sort of situation, but it's like really tight curls.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, Hey, what's going on here?
I'm asking, this person if they know Allie.
Oh, okay. And we both know Allie, and, that girl just signs to, the woman, and it's like, yeah, I'm Tatiana. That's Natasha. from what Natasha's told me, she was there that night they disappeared. And so you see her signing, telling her that what she's telling you. And you see Natasha just fiercely like trying to like sign. Be like, people are, and she's like, yeah, people are asking about it now. I know. And you see Natasha starting to get upset, but, and then Tatiana's just sort of like put her hand on her back and just starting to rub it. And she's like, she was there when it happened.
Oh, you were there? Wow.
Tatiana is translating for you, so I'm going to just make it a more of an easier conversation. So that's what you're saying.
Okay.
And Natasha replies saying, yes, I was there. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Cameron looks at Natasha directly, and they go, I'm really sorry about, I know this is recent, but Allie was a classmate of mine, and we're just kind of worried and just want to know what happened.
And Natasha basically is saying, Tatiana, she's like, the Riptides were a lie. That's the media. Everybody's telling you it's a lie. I was there. I saw what happened. We were hanging out on the beach, enjoying the night. It was it was a pretty night. It was a full moon. Like, the stars were out. It was clear. We wanted to have a good night. And all of a sudden, and then Tatiana pauses and just like rubs Natasha's back a bit, and then continues translating. All of a sudden, they just stopped. They lost all the expression on their face, looked into the ocean, and just started walking into the water.
Walking into the water, like, I mean, just...
They just walked directly into the water of their own free will.
With their clothes on?
I don't know. I try to, like, you know, catch their attention or stop them, but I couldn't.
Okay.
And, yeah, Tatiana's like, just...
Oh, no. We're not saying it's your fault. No, of course not.
I didn't know what was going on, and they just kept going until I couldn't see them anymore, and I waited for an hour, and then, because I thought they were just going out for a swim, and they didn't tell me, and then I ran to like a local diner to get some help. And
which diner was this?
Oh, it was House of Pie.
So Mallory is taking all the notes, and okay, so I'm gonna need your contact information, both of you.
I think what my friend is saying here is,
I'm gonna need their contact information, Cameron.
Yeah. Mel, would it be okay if we had your pager number, or if you have a cell phone, just so if we have any other questions, if it's okay? I mean, I know we just met Natasha, but we really want to know what happened to your friend. And I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And Tatiana signs to Natasha. Natasha basically just writes down her pager number, and she passes her a pager number that just basically is like, Natasha has a pager. You'll have to type code. That's about it. Or give her a location. She can meet you, or vice versa.
Oh, okay.
So Tatiana and Natasha both hand you their pager numbers. Well, Tatiana's cell phone, so she passes her cell phone number.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We will use this information to help get more information about what has happened to your friend Allie.
Yeah, thank you so much. Oh, wait, one more question. Were you able to see? I mean, I know seeing your friends go into the water is like super strange, but was there anything else that kind of caught your eye that was like odd to you?
Not that I know of. I was too busy trying to stop them that I didn't have a chance to really look around.
Oh, no, that's totally understandable. Just wanted to make sure. Again, we're really sorry to bother you and bring up all this stuff.
It's okay. I just, at least someone's finally listening to me, because I tried to tell police and they just think it's riptides, because they just saw them go in the water and disappear, so that's what they assumed and kept going with.
That's very common for the police to go with the simplest answer for us, for things that they can't solve.
Right?
Don't worry, we're not contacting the police for these matters.
Who are you contacting then? Why are you looking to this now?
We just became aware of this anomaly, and so we are working with other interested parties.
Okay, well, if you ever get some answers, can you just please let me know?
Absolutely.
You'll be the first to know.
All right, we have to go to criminology.
All right. And Tatiana, with that, she's like, all right, well, I wasn't there, but I if you need me to translate more or help y'all with anything, just let me know, okay? Yeah, Allie and the bunch were my friends too, and even if I wasn't there, it hurts a lot, and I finally like to have some closure. So thank y'all for looking into it. Yeah, and with that, she just sort of gives a small wave and just walks away.
Walking into the water?
That's very strange. That implicates mind control. And that was something that I was not expecting.
I think Cameron's thinking way more like Supernatural, but is not saying one thing to Mallory. But they just go, let's go to criminology. I think we're going to be late at this point.
No, we can't be late. And Mallory just takes off running.
It just means we're on time. What?
Basically, as y'all enter, and we're going to pan away as the camera sort of zooms out and shoots to the sky and then comes back down. Are we heading back to Hallucinations? Is that right?
I guess so.
I think it would be this time where Isabella thinks she's going to be alone in the coffee shop to get her sweet drink, but she really runs into the other two as well after they've done their information gathering.
What's up?
We don't have to call you out on it. You can already have drank it. It's fine. No, I like it better that y'all are there already, and I come in, and then I'm like, Isabel's like, oh, she's, her shoulders kind of slump just a little bit, and then she goes to the counter and just orders black coffee.
Oh, no. Yeah, I think the first scene that we see is basically Hallucinations coffee sign, like any other good show. You get it, like, show where we are. So you get it. First, there's screen cuts of various, like, people at the beach hanging out, playing things. And then it cuts to the Hallucinations coffees, and then it's inside. And I think we're at the, I think Talon and Dawn are at a table discussing things. Is that right? What are y'all doing? As Isabella walks in, would y'all begin hanging out, going over notes, or?
I think Dawn sees Isabella walk in and, like, she absolutely passes by to get her drink first, but Dawn absolutely, Isabella, nice to see you. Would you care to join us?
Oh, hi. Hi, Dawn. Let me just grab my coffee and I'll be right over. She does. She gets coffee. She comes over. She sits down. Hi, Talon.
Hi, Isabella. How are you?
I'm okay. How are...
I'm a little tired.
Yeah, that's why I need a second cup. A little tired.
Fair.
This is a lot of paperwork. What are you guys looking at?
Oh, I feel like you have an idea of that, don't you?
Maybe a small idea. Some missing people.
Just a few. Yeah. I mean, I guess I'll cut right down to the chase. We know some things. What do you know?
Why would I share that information first? Especially with at least one member of the Secret Order present. we know that you know because we know. We heard it on the radio, and then you were in here talking about the three girls. So, like, at this point, we just might as well converge.
Unfortunately, I still know very little. I did go down to the beach to investigate where...
You went to the waters?
I did. I did go to the waters. There's something out there, but I'm not sure exactly what. And at this point, I don't have a whole lot to go on, so I'm willing to share anything I find in the future if you all are also willing to share what you know.
Less bodies would be better, and it seems like there's already an exorbitant amount of bodies relative to the time, so I think collaboration would be best.
Agreed.
It just hits too close to home, you know? Cameron's friend from school is one of those people.
Right. Allie, yes.
Go ahead. Do you think that it's maybe targeting younger people?
It's not just college students who have gone missing. That's part of the problem. They're men and women, as well as young and slightly older.
Well, that's good to know, but also, bummer summer, that could have been a lead.
Yes, that could have been a lead.
My eyes just quirk down, and I'm like, where do you come up with these things? Okay, Talon's gonna look at Isabella and be like, so neither of us have really anything besides hunches and nothing details.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, so we've got this list of potential monsters that one of our more experienced, not secret order, totally not people, right? Suspects could be the Riptide Monster.
Oh, okay.
Ignore the Sharknado.
Also the doodles that are in the margins.
The doodles. Lest we forget.
Okay, so Sharknado is not an option. That's disappointing. Well, do you have any information about some of these monsters? Have they been seen before? Has anyone in the order studied or taken care of any of these monsters previously?
There are means to research, but Dawn pointed out that it would be better for us to confirm a little more detail than Riptides, so.
Yeah, so far all we really have is people go into the water and they don't come back. Mm-hmm. There are, from this list that I've been shown, several beings that could cause harm inside of the water. We're basically throwing darts at nothing at this point.
Well, my next plan was to possibly talk to some of the friends or family members of the people who've gone missing. What I really wish we had a witness, but unfortunately I don't think we do at this point.
Hate to say this, but I think we're going to have to be our own witnesses on this one, if you catch my drift.
I was thinking the exact same thing, Dawn.
Oh. I mean, yes. But You talk to your sister about this, right? Doesn't Mal go to the campus?
Yes, Cameron and Mallory were both familiar with at least one person on the list. But I'm not sure where they are.
I mean, Mallory's a curious bunch, right? So you didn't actually give her that information without thinking she would dig.
Well, Mallory is incredibly intelligent. She's just unmotivated. She'll come around.
You're clearly the older sister.
I can't. Diana, you're face. Over Diana.
I have a quick question for the coffee bunch. Okay. Do any of y'all have moves that help you, like, investigate the weirdness, like paranormally, like by chance?
Oh, we have, you know, we're playing a role.
Oh, we're playing a game.
Oh, yeah. Move.
just
playbooks.
What now?
We're just role playing what's in our hearts.
We're just, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. If I just want to see if there's anything in your playbooks to help you like gather more information.
I built my entire livelihood around fighting a weird order person. So I apprentice ancient fighting arts and that old black magic.
That old black.
And that's only for like fighting stuff or like doing magic things, right?
I don't remember. I will double check though.
I made my entire character just to be completely endearing while also being creepy as all hell.
I love it. Don't change.
That old black magic is when I use magic, I can ask a question from the investigative mystery as the effect. But beyond that, no.
Okay. Do you want to use magic in any sort of situation?
At the coffee shop?
I'm just saying. Or you can go back to your car if you want to, or like something.
Back at your lobby.
We all go back to your car like we're going to smoke a joint, but really you're going to do magic.
Yeah.
Going to smoke that big
magic.
Can
we convene in the Jubilee or whatever the hell it is?
Yes. Yes.
That's Jalopy.
No. No, it's now the Jubilee. I love it.
The Jubilee.
The more times you say it,
my thought was the exact same thing, though, AJ, is that we'd end up having to go to the beach and try to, like, use bait, right, and see what's going on.
Yeah.
But we can try magic first.
So right now I just have the basic things for it. I think maybe I could curate a couple more, you know, ingredients like specific salts and crystals, and we could try the magic probably to better effect when we are at the location. Car magic usually
not as effective.
Yeah.
So we'll go to the beach. And we'll do magic at the beach, like from the craft.
Maybe a bit of a shopping trip first, get all the good materials for it.
Unfortunately, yeah, because, you know, I'm mentoring this new student, so we have to make sure it's up to snuff.
Speaking of which, where's Nomi? She's late.
Who's Nomi?
My apprentice.
You have an apprentice?
Yeah.
You don't?
I do not.
Don't you?
Pity.
You have an apprentice. You're just...
We have admin assistants at the agency. But they sit at their desks. Talon, does the Secret Order have like a store that we go to get this special salt? Or... this is my first time going shopping for magical items.
Can you order a special salt at the drive-thru?
Well, you do have to pick up Nomi, right? So when you have to go to, you're like,
I think about it and I'm like, okay, well, yes, we have an in-house apothecary, but you do run a tab up rather than paying with currency, you pay with other tasks. That would be the quickest way, but things at the grocery store can be acquired. But then there's the whole, I told Nomi to meet us here and we don't want to be here anymore, so I guess we could go.
She's late, page her.
You're the one with the pager.
Oh, you're right, my bad. What's her number again?
555.
I beep her whatever code means went shopping. I made this joke in the chat, but what I send her is like a latitude longitude.
Nice.
Right to the store.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's part of the test to see if she'll even understand it to get there.
Oh. Isabella's a boss.
All right, yeah, y'all head off with drinks in hand. Isabella has her unfortunate just black coffee. Who's driving first off?
Okay, so I think I want to say H Mart would be very close to.
Oh yeah, it's probably
hallucinations.
Like, maybe like two blocks over.
So I want to like throw off Nomi's scent by just leaving my car. Hallucination.
I love this.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So it's probably like two blocks over. So you just easily walk over, grab a shopping cart and do your magic shopping, but with the music in the background and like dealing with other people in the grocery store.
Naturally. Naturally. Curry powder, some sea salt, some white rice, definitely some sage. Perfect. And then I end up like shopping for a couple like actual food items for myself.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll throw in a little bit of kim, some of the seaweed that you like nori, like that you would normally have. I'm like, it's got to be related to the sea, right?
Mm-hmm.
I pick up some fish sticks.
Bless.
Like frozen fish sticks or like
dried frozen fish for in sure. Bag?
Okay.
Dawn's never been shopping for themself.
No, I'm like, Dawn, those fish sticks are not good enough for you.
I mean, most things aren't, but.
Take a stroll by the sushi counter. You'd have to.
Have to.
All right, Isabel, are you picking up anything? Or?
No.
You're just
no, there. I'm just
boss ass bitch. Well,
I'm just following them because we need, and we're going to go to the beach anyway to try to see what's going on, and we might as well try this magic, but she's not familiar with magic, so she'll just follow.
It's fair.
Mary? Dawn, do you actually get the fish sticks or do you put those back?
Oh no, I get the fish sticks.
Obviously. Frozen fish sticks.
You never know when they come in handy.
Are you going home to cook those first, Dawn?
No.
You're going to eat them frozen at the beach?
I never said I was going to eat them.
Oh, they're part of the spell. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes, they are absolutely part of the spell. Talon, will you take these off my hands for me? This is a gift to you.
The biggest eyes. Talon will slowly grab the fish sticks and just look at you very confused and aghast.
That's a family.
I whisper to Talon, listen, give them back to me later. But for now, it's very funny to trick her into thinking this is magic.
That's a family size pack. I mean, 48 fish sticks. This is...
It's big magic, Isabella.
Oh, okay, that's fine. This is our only lead.
I yell in a crowded H Mart.
48 fish sticks. Do you want me to get Talon? Should I get a second box?
You know what? Yes. We might need to make a bigger fish stick sigil.
Okay. We'll get better. Okay. So Isabella grabs a second box of the family size fish sticks. 48 come in a box.
Great. 96 is a good magic number anyways.
Perfect.
I'm trying to look around to see if Nomi has figured it out. And I'm trying to see if, like, if Nomi's on her way to H Mart, we'll backpedal and go back to Hallucination.
Yeah, she's learning, but coordinates weren't a thing she was taught yet.
Oh, Lord. Child.
Nor does she have the big technologies to figure out coordinates on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's fair.
So she's kind of like just sitting on the sitting right next to the entryway to Hallucination Coffee, just sort of sitting there, back straight, sort of just twiddling her thumbs, watching people walk by, dressed to fit in because typically people in the Order, princes and whatnot, have a certain attire. We actually haven't gotten to that, but we can get to that later. But when we get back to that. But yeah, she's in the young adult clothes. So I'm going to say she's kind of dressed like TLC. So baggy, like actually like Sporty Spice TLC sort of mix. So baggy sort of like Adidas pants with like a the tank top, like a cami tank top. Like, you asked her to fit in. She went with the first thing that pulled up for media, which is don't go chasing waterfalls. And that's what she got. So
I imagine she's like standing up when she sees that we're here.
Yeah, she sees you. She's like automatically standing up and waving.
Do you have your notebook?
Yes. And okay. She has like a little backpack and she's like, holds it up. Okay.
Yep. Take it out. Write down. Lesson uh-huh. number one.
Uh-huh.
Failed.
Failed. Oh, what did I fail?
Your homework over the next 2 weeks okay. will be to memorize the gridline coordinates for this town.
Memorize gridline coordinates for town. Oh, is that what latitudes. That was?
Yep.
Yes, thought it that was simple. Was.
Dang it!
Puppy.
Oh, okay. I will remember that for next time.
All That's right. okay. It was hard. It was.
Hi, Dawn. Oh, hi. Hello. You got a new friend.
A friend.
Yes, Nomi. This is Isabella. She'll be working with us on this.
Hi, Isabella. I'm Nomi. And she just shakes, like puts her hand out to shake.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Oh my gosh, how many more people are on this mission? Because
hundreds.
Hundreds.
Done.
Holy cow! I did not know this mission was so big.
Nomi.
I'm sorry, I tease.
Oh, okay.
Nomi, remember how we talked about scale? That you're a 12, and in order to fit in, you need to be at least a 7.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm sorry, I'm really excited, so let me just tone it down a bit, and, okay. How do I look? Do I fit in?
You look marvelous.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a choice. It's not necessarily a wrong choice. It was an option, and you chose that one.
Isabella has so much respect for Talon right now.
It was either this or I saw the movie called Clueless. And, like, I don't know if me going around in a skirt and heels to the beach or wherever we're going...
I might talk to Kirby or some of the professors because we might need to reorder and prioritize your schedule a little better because you don't take your fashion choices for media.
Talon, to be fair, you're all hanging out with me. She looks the least conspicuous of all of us. Comparatively, I'm the odd one out.
I feel like I blend in just fine.
Yeah. Okay, well, we've gathered ingredients. You will be witness, Nomi, to some of our old black magic.
Oh, I get to learn some of that? All right. She opens up another page. She's like, learning black magic, today's date.
Not learning, witnessing.
Oh, crosses out learning, witnessing. Where are we
going? But I admire that ambition. Keep mm-hmm. that.
But I learned by watching, right? Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, oh, that's one way.
She's got you there, Talon.
Learn one, know one, do one.
To the beach!
Talon, you take Nomi with you. I think I'd like to have a moment with Isabella.
Okay. That is my duty as a mentor. I am well prepared and equipped to handle a one-on-one situation in a car mm-hmm. with my apprentice. Yes. Yes, all right. Have fun.
Okay.
All right. Dawn, Isabella, you want to say we do a car scene or as you're heading over there?
I didn't have a scene in mind. I just figured at this point, Dawn would take the fur coat off and be like, thank God this thing is hot.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because I know.
So you just sit in the car, you're just going to sit there for a second, just...
Mm-hmm. I've leaned the seat all the way back.
How's the window tinting on Isabella's car?
I think it's tinted black.
I think it's government grade, yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
What kind of car is it, by the way?
I'm picturing like a lime green Impala. Because it's supposed to be the obvious, like the negative to the car, to the Monster Mobile, is that it's obvious. So I really like this lime green,
with very dark, like black window tinting. So Don can take his coat off. It's no problem. We can do surveillance with no problem.
All right. Yeah. So the green Impala goes off. The Jubilee follows after it to the beach. However, we're going to cut scenes and it's after class now. Criminology's over. They are now released from class. Everybody's filing out. Cameron, Mallory, what are y'all doing?
Mallory is continuing to write down notes as she's walking out of class.
Hey, Mal.
What?
Want to go grab some pie?
Always. Where's the pie? Where are we going? Pie? Yes.
We're going to House of Pie.
Oh, that is where Natasha said that she waited after Allie. Is that why you want to go to House of Pie?
I wanted a slice of pie. Talking to her kind of reminded me of pie, but we can eat that too.
We should go to the House of Pie and we should ask the people who work there about Natasha being there in case there's something suspicious.
Promise me you won't be as...
As what? I'm merely asking questions and investigating.
Yeah, but...
You're hesitating. This is unusual for you.
I'm trying to... We're friends, and I'm trying, and I know I hurt your feelings last time, and I'm trying.
I said I didn't want to talk about that, so let's not.
I'm not. I'm just saying that I'm trying to use my words more carefully. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when we spoke to Natasha, you were very Mal, just very.
I don't really like being used as an adjective. Could you explain further?
You are very direct, and sometimes people don't, it kind of like takes people aback. And now that we're going to maybe ask questions in a restaurant, they're probably going to ask like why and where we're like, and I know we're taking criminology. Oh, maybe that's our in. We could say it's a project or something and we're doing research. Yeah.
Well, we haven't really discussed interrogation techniques yet.
They don't know that.
They don't know that.
Come on, let's go. Okay, done. Let's do this. House of Pie.
Okay. All right, let's get pie. We can discuss tactics on the way there.
All right, Mal, what'd you think? I'm thinking booze.
Yeah, a booth gives us the best optics for the restaurant as a whole.
All right. And yeah, so you're offered to like a little booth sort of near the back-ish area. There's like one like little walkway that has like towards the bathrooms, but like you're near the windows so you can look at the outsides. You know, it's very like pretty much all the walls are windows except for like the back area because nice open lighting is always good. Yeah, you're given menus, and they're just like the plastic floppy menus. That mm-hmm. and then there's two pages worth full of pie itself, and that's about, and then other things. But yeah, it's a diner. It's the lunchtime rush. It's like towards the end of the lunchtime rush, mm-hmm. so it's starting to slow down a bit. So maybe there's like six other patrons in here.
Cameron looks around, then looks at Mal and goes, you know what? I'm gonna go powder my nose or bathroom stuff. Can you order me strawberry rhubarb if they don't have it, just apple pie a la mode.
Okay. I can handle that.
And Cameron does walk to the restroom, okay. But then instead of going in, they're kind of observing around, just kind of ducks into like maybe like the hallway where it's pretty quiet and kind of looks around. I'd like to use magic and observe another place or time. Like to see if I can experience what happened during that time where Natasha was there and trying to communicate what happened.
Okay, yeah, go ahead and give me a roll plus weird.
Nine.
9? All right. So with a 7 and 9, it works imperfectly. Choose your effect and a glitch. The keeper will decide what effect the glitch has.
How about the effect is weakened?
Okay. So basically, you're going to get the information. It's just going to be a very not as strong of a pulse that you have. So yeah. Real quick, just to, for our viewers at home who are watching this Monster of the Week show, hey, how would you describe how Cameron does magic?
I don't think I previously explained this, but Cameron does, as a college student, they do carry like a backpack of some kind. But within this backpack, sometimes you can hear metal clanking. And if they open the backpack, they have it's like a small like metal tube thing, but it's a retractable staff, basically. They had it made with a cosplay friend because, of course, Cameron is a anime fan and has cosplay friends. So, of course, they had someone make this for a cosplay, but it was actually something for them to use for their magic stuff because it is needed. And they also have, like, and the way they're dressed is very, it's fashionable, but also very, like, on that 90s rock style. Like, there's kind of chains hanging out, not only for fashion, but because it's they need like metal type of objects when they cast, so it's always like a like components are always on them. So at this point in time, I think they're not holding it, they're kind of just like imagining the staff at this point in time. You just see like their eyes kind of flash like this silvery white, almost like lightning, like as if like a lightning is flashing within their eyes, I guess. Very energy. Okay.
And you're focusing on the time and place, and all of a sudden, as you're like looking out into the diner, because you're in the hallway sort of like looking into the diner, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The brightness of the day sort of just slowly fades to a darkness of night, of like a dead dark night. You see the people that are currently there sort of fade away. You see Mallory, she's not, but she also like sort of just shimmers away for a bit as well. As the diner is pretty empty, and the wait staff that's working is a different wait staff, and they're walking in different directions. So as the shimmer starts from top bottom, it sort of just fades in as like really strong. However, just because it is weakened a bit now, it comes in strong and then sort of like brings reality as well. So there's like an overlap of today's reality with the past. So it's hard to distinguish what is what.
Okay.
Exactly. But, you, for a brief second, you do see that there is a difference, and then all of a sudden, it's like whenever you're doing like the projection boards and you get two overlays that overlap each other, it's kind of like that. So it's just like the two realities sort of overlapping each other right now, and they're both very visible. So you can see bits of nighttime darkness, but also you see a cloud go by with the sunshine. So so it's hard to distinguish what's what, but you do get to see things. So you're there, and it's pretty quiet night from what you're seeing, whatever you can pick from the nighttime portion of it. And all of a sudden, you see Natasha just running in, throwing the doors open, and just running to the counter, slapping her hand on the counter, because the wait staff there is just kind of hanging out because there's no one in there. And you see her just trying to grab a pen from the cashier's area and a napkin and just trying to write things down, and she's just being very frantic, and the people there, you know, obviously can't comprehend and understand and because language barriers and all that. So they're calling the cops pretty much because there's someone there that they don't know what's going on, and eventually they're like, okay, no, wait, hold on, we have a note saying that this person's friends were lost to the ocean, and she doesn't know what's happening. And you just see this very frantic Natasha just trying to like get their attention and crying and just like trying to see what's going on.
It's overlaid, but is there a chance Cameron can kind of see who was able to talk, who was like trying to talk to Natasha, maybe recognize one of the workers?
Yes, you see, it's an older gentleman who's, you know, just working the late night shift. Tall guy with a little bit of a hunch in his shoulders, and you're able to read his name tag says Carry on it. And he's just an older gentleman who's just like trying to like calm her down and be like.
That was Cameron's main kind of main objective, just to see who exactly was there to contact Natasha. Is there anything else suspicious? Like, well, even with the overlay.
Not really. It seems like a typical quiet night at the diner.
And I think that vision passes and their eyes kind of just like immediately go back to normal. And it's like, they're just blinking. And because there's like flashes of dark and light. So it's just like,
yeah, it's like when you stare at the sun and like, you know, you look or you get like someone flashes a light in your eyes.
Yeah. I feel like it's almost like dilated, but also just like kind of very disoriented.
I think as you're doing that and you're reorienting yourself, you hear the door to the bathroom sort of like open up beside you and someone walks past you and they're like, oh, excuse me. And they just sort of move past you. Oh. So
yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. And as you're organizing yourself, Mallory, did you I was gonna say you ordered, okay. And this is like as you're finishing up ordering, what did you order for yourself? Just out of plain curiosity.
I have ordered a piece of pecan pie, also with almond mode.
Nice, and they had the strawberry rhubarb in house, so you got that. All right, and as you finish up ordering, the waitress sort of goes away to take your menu, and I think I'm going to say you turn and like you're taking your notes because that's what you do. You take notes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say as you're taking your notes, you have a napkin dispenser that's pure metal, like any diner does, right? It's mm-hmm. shiny and reflective. And I think as you're taking notes, something catches your eye and you look at it. And you just see this humanoid figure with no hair, just scales across their face and their head. Their nose is sort of like amorphic into their face itself. And it's just a figure just walking by.
I turn to see if I actually see this figure.
And I think you catch them just as they're leaving the House of Pie. But do you remember one of the twins that you saw earlier?
Yes.
It was Brooke. You just see her as she's just leaving the coffee shop and walking out.
So I just see Brooke.
I'm sorry, not the coffee shop. You see her as she's just walking out of the House of Pie.
Okay.
Yeah.
I stare at her for a while as I fully am watching her leave down the street.
She turns to the beach.
And that's it for this week's episode of Monster of the Week. Our cast is Gemma as Cameron, Jess as Talon, AJ as Don Donovan, Diana as Mallory, Kristen as Isabella, and Morgan as the Keeper. Join us next week for another great episode.